Welcome to the Answers for Elders radio show. Meet the trusted experts who will give you straight answers and will help guide you on the path of later life care. Now, here's your host, founder, caregiver, and CEO, Suzanne Newman.
And welcome, everyone, back to Answers for Elders Radio Network, here with estate planning attorney and my friend, Stephen Waltar, who is an amazing estate planning attorney in Bellevue, Washington, covering all of the state of Washington. Steve is also, for those of you outside the state of Washington, he is a member of the Academy for Estate Planning Attorneys. And for those of you that are looking for someone to help you in the things that he's talking about, please reach out to their website as well. And I know also, if you feel a personal connection to Steve like I do, I'm sure he would welcome your call and direct you to someone in your area if you're outside of the state of Washington. So Steve, welcome back to the show. And I'm very glad we're talking about estate planning. And I want to touch on one thing before we get into today's topic or this segment's topic, and that we talked about those with disabilities or those who cannot act for themselves. And we kind of left that point hanging, and I want to make sure that we close that loop. So could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, there's lots of benefits of proper estate planning. Right. One is to avoid probate. That's another one that's very common. It's to protect your assets from creditors, or at least from your beneficiaries. Mm-hmm. Many people want to leave a legacy. You know, they want to pass on their values. They want to lower estate taxes.
Right.
Sometimes people want to do generational planning to the grandchildren as well. So the list is long, but it's more than disability. There's a lot of, you know, who gets what, when, and how.
Right, right. And that's the key, right? And so obviously, we were going to go into this segment talking about estate planning options. There's a million different options that, you know, you have a choice over in your estate, isn't it? I mean, I can't imagine it's basically custom built to your wishes. Isn't that true?
Well, people come to me and they say, do I need a trust? And I say, I don't know yet. I mean, I have to ask questions.
Exactly.
But the most popular plan is intestacy, which is a Latin word, sounds painful. It means no plan.
Yeah.
I've read different studies. It's 70 to 80% of people die without a will.
Mm-hmm.
So if you die without a will, the state has one for you.
Yeah.
And it's different in every state. And if you're married, it means, you know, certain property goes to your spouse. But if you have separate property, it would only be half. And the other half would go to children. And so, you know, it's just, it may choose the wrong people, or it may be ineffective. You certainly can't do estate tax planning. Yeah, you certainly can't do legacy planning. So, you know, that's the big one you want to avoid.
Yeah.
I think the other one that's not a very good practical one, we can joke about it, but is to have the last check to the underwriter bounce.
Yeah.
I don't think people want to outlast their estate. Spend it all. It's not really a very good plan. Right?
No.
So if you want to get into the actual plans, is this a good time, or do you have any other questions about why people don't or anything like that?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I get calls probably one a week from a family member who, dad just got dementia and Alzheimer's and he's declining. Mom is still in the house. We're worried about dad having to go to memory care. They're on a fixed income. I'm afraid mom's going to lose the house. I don't know what to do. And the first question I ask is, what's in place? And that is the scenario that so many families end up in. And it could happen in a month that you're in that situation. You know, and that's the thing where I say, if there was a plan in place, you wouldn't worry about losing the house. You wouldn't worry about a lot of the things, I think, in many cases that families are dealing with right now. The stress factor is overwhelming.
It's sad when we get a referral or someone comes to us and they're totally incapacitated. They can't sign anything.
Yeah.
And still there might be some things we can do, but you lose so many options.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like I said, last session is like estate planning is about choice.
Yeah.
And the choices are often different when you're really young and you're focused on, you know, guardians and who protects the kids. And then often the plan changes later.
Right.
You know, you go from a simple will plan to like a trust plan when your estate's bigger, you want to double the tax exemption. And then, you know, full circle, if you're kind of running out of assets, then you're like, gosh, I need to protect assets. So, you know, if I go into the nursing home, My spouse is still going to have something when I die, or, you know,
right.
So it changes, right? You have to look at it from time to time.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, many people, you know, when we go through basic education, we don't learn about estate planning when we go to college, or
right.
We are in a different mindset. So we go through life and we don't realize that there's certain things that need to be taken care of. And I know like the families that I talk to, hey, the horse is already out of the barn. It's really hard to help that family unless there's some safeguards put up front and different things that can be done so that the spouse doesn't lose the home, that
yeah.
There is a way that dad can be, you know, be given care. And I think that's the thing that is so sad about, you know, a lot of the world that I live in.
We haven't talked about this yet, but whenever I meet with someone, or any attorney at our firm, we need a questionnaire. We need to know, are there children?
Yeah.
We need to know what the assets are, because whether they have a will or not, I want to know, do they have an IRA or a 401k? Have they listed a beneficiary? Beneficiary designations are an estate plan for that asset.
Right.
You know, joint tenancy is outside of the control of a will or even a trust. So that's another choice. It's a, you know, something people do. Payable on death.
Yeah.
You know, you may have a bank account and you want it to be payable to a particular person.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little hard to make it payable to a bunch of people or like give with control, but it is a plan, right?
Yeah.
And then of course, wills and trusts are a way to give and maintain control.
Right.
And that may not be to be negative. That may be to protect the beneficiary.
True. True. And you talk about listing beneficiaries. What happens when you list the beneficiaries?
Well, as long as, you know, it's an adult, I mean, you basically just, you get a death certificate, which is not so easy these days in this COVID era. It takes a while to get your, you know, life insurance or a bank account or something like that. There are times that if there's multiple beneficiaries, they want everyone to go to the bank at the same time. But really, it's a contract.
Right.
The bank or the institution has a contract. And so doesn't matter who's listed in the will, it just goes to the listed beneficiary.
Right. Right. And that's good. So in the will, how does the last will and testament then work?
Yeah. So a lot of times, I mean, we're going to talk a whole segment on probate, but a will doesn't require a probate. A will is the process if you have to go to court to get things retitled.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, you have to get someone appointed and they have to, you know, they may or may not have to post a bond. And then once they're appointed, you have to get a tax ID number and you send letters to institutions. Hey, I'm in charge now. So it kind of replaces the death certificate. It says, hey, I'm in charge now. I have this letter that puts me in charge. And then there's a whole process that you go through. You probably don't want to distribute things for at least 5 months because of waiting periods and stuff.
Right.
And then you eventually give to people, or you give in trust. You set up, you know, funds for people.
And that's why we say probate takes so long. So if somebody like gets a house in a probate situation, they're not going to get probably the house, you know, in their name for months and months and months, if not a years. I mean, I've heard it's been, if someone is challenging the will, I mean, I'm sure that happens too, that things get sideways. And I know too, like, for example, my mom had two different wills. We had to actually decipher which one was the later one. And there was differences that she had made.
I think Howard Hughes had 17. I just know it was multiple states. And I don't people remember the yellow planes flying around Hughes Airlines.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting because, you know, it's how things change, right? So obviously that brings up. So one of the things that I've heard about is a living trust. Now, what is that? Does that have to do with healthcare directives? What is that?
Yeah, that's a common misconception. So if you're thinking about health, that's a living will. Don't keep me on machines of my brain dead. It's also called a directive to physicians. A living trust, it's kind of a will substitute or a will replacement. It's something that's been around 1,000 years. There's a trustor that creates it, a trustee that manages it, and beneficiaries.
Right.
So yeah, it is a probate avoidance strategy. You take assets and they're in the trust. You know, you deed a house into the trust, you put things, well, it's not good. I'm on a little virtual background here. It's like a container
Right.
chest, and you move your you deed your house, and you put your business, and you put your assets in your bank
Right.
account, your brokerage account, and then when you die, there's nothing that needs retitling by a court. And so it's
Right.
handled privately, and you can handle the administration without going to court, and you can avoid probate.
And obviously, a living trust works much more quickly because all that happens is the new beneficiaries just show up, but the trust remains intact. Is that correct?
It's a similar process, but you're right.
Okay.
There aren't built-in court deadlines.
Okay.
So I
Okay.
would say it's generally easier and quicker. The only time it's really not a lot quicker is if you have an estate tax return, then you kind of have to wait
Sure.
for closings. But
Sure.
again,
Sure.
because of the notifications, yeah, it's quicker.
Okay. So obviously, going back to this family that I just talked to, daddy has dementia, right? It is escalating very quickly. If the house is in a trust, what happens if daddy needs care?
Yeah, I mean, so that'd be a whole nother topic is Medicaid
Okay,
planning.
right.
The house will avoid probate when each spouse dies,
Yeah.
but this in the state of Washington, you have no asset protection with a living trust. Other
Okay.
states, a living trust means that the Department of Social and Health
Okay.
Services can't come back for recovery.
Oh.
So sometimes the plan there is whether you have a trust or not, get it out of the sick spouse's name and get it to the well spouse. Because
Okay.
then when the sick spouse dies, they weren't on title. There's nothing to collect against.
Got it. Got
Yeah.
it. So, yeah, all of these different things that we have to finagle. So, Washington State is different than a lot of states in that
Yeah.
regard. Interesting. Interesting. It's always interesting when I speak to attorneys from different states because they'll say, well, in Washington, you have it a lot easier on certain ways. So, this is
Yeah.
one that we probably don't have it so easy here in the state of
That's
Washington.
true.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, well, next segment, before we go, I want to make sure to our listeners, Steve does provide a free consultation. Would you give us a little bit information on what happens on the consultation, Steve?
Yeah, in order to kind of be most helpful, we send you a confidential questionnaire. Because I don't want to be asking, do you have children?
Right.
How do you spell that? And do you own a home or not? But as long as someone does a little homework, you get an hour with one of our attorneys. And we
That's
ask a lot of
awesome.
questions. We make sure we understand things. We have no agenda to put you in one plan or another. We're trying to figure out what makes sense. And then we quote a flat fee to go with plan A or plan B based on, what could work for them.
Right. Well, and that's important too. So again, how we reach Steve, you can call him at 425-455-6788. Or you can go to his website, which is www.waltar, WALTAR.com. And Steve and I, we're going to be right back right after this.
We at Answers for Elders thank you for listening. Did you know that you can discover hundreds of podcasts in our library on senior care? So visit our website and discover our decision guides that will help you also navigate decision making. Find us at answersforelders.com.